The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, live on the road, day three of the DNC United Center, Chicago, Illinois, Dom. And we've been joined at the table by a fine guest, Meredith Vades.
Vades.
I was going to screw it up the first time, Meredith. I'll try to do better.
Crudy's kind of known for butchering last name.
I am.
Meredith, so you should be honored.
I am.
You think they wouldn't allow me anywhere near the radio, but Meredith, welcome.
Thank you.
As I understand it, are a long-term friend and staffer of Governor Tim Walz. And tonight is Tim Walz' night. So what can you tell us about Coach Walz? When did you meet the man?
I met him in high school. I never had him in the classroom, but he was our senior class advisor, as was his wife. And I had a locker senior year right outside his classroom. And he'd stand outside that classroom, and he would shake hands with every kid that walked by. Didn't matter if you had him in class. And I kind of wondered why, and he said, well, every kid's important. I want to make sure everybody feels like somebody noticed they're at school today, and I want to show them respect. And so that's what I do. I shake their hand, I say hello. So I've known him, I'm dating myself, but I mean, you know, I was in high school from 97 to 2001. and then I left for college, and when I came back, happened to run into somebody who said, I think he's going to run for Congress. And it was, you know, early 05, and I said, great, I'll help. Which makes me staffer number two on his first campaign.
Congratulations, you're now working.
Thank you.
Meredith, as a high school football coach, was he known as Coach Walz, or mm-hmm. what did the kids call him in school? Was he Mr. Walz, Coach Walz, what did they call him?
I think it just depended on how you knew him. My brother was on his state championship team. He was definitely Coach Walz to my brother.
1999 Mankato East?
Mankato West.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. There were subsequent championships after that. It's become a great football school, believe it or not, for a public high school. But he also coached the girls' varsity basketball team. He and his wife also built prom. They also, you know, provided senior class guidance. He was the advisor to the Gay Straight Alliance, which was kind of revolutionary back then in the late 90s.
Oh, hell, in some places even now.
Right. And so you called him whatever you knew him as, coach, friend. I mean, there were a lot of kids who lived down the street from him, and they saw him as a neighbor and a friend. And a lot of those kids are actually here at the convention. So.
And he even chaperoned a trip to Asia with the high school kids. That's
dedication.
What sort of chaperone was Coach Walz?
I did not go on that
reportedly.
Trip. My little sister did. He has taken that trip, I think, upwards of 30 times because he taught in China in, I think, 89, 90. And then started taking kids. So he and his wife actually took a group of students, I believe, from Alliance, Nebraska. It was also their honeymoon. And because they had an odd number of boys and girls, they had to room separately on their honeymoon in China. That's the kind of dedication. He took a lot of subsequent trips after that with kids. And, you know, what he wanted to show people, he was a global geography teacher, right? So it wasn't just about, can you name a capital on a map? It was also, what is the culture? What do we know about these communities? How are we kind of, you know, one people? What do we have in common, but also what separates us? And so He was looking at culture. He was looking to foster the idea that people could be inclusive and get to know other communities and countries and explore our world. And I think that's what a lot of the kids left with.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Meredith Vadas, a staffer for Governor Walz. Meredith, thank you for coming by the table. Now you've been in politics for some time. You worked with him when he was in Congress. The Republicans now, when we talk about these trips to China, well, he must be a Chinese plant. You know, these are the kinds of things.
A literal Manchurian candidate, if you will.
That the right is coming up with. And that kind of nonsense. I'll ask you, is to your knowledge, is Governor Walz a Chinese agent?
Oh, gosh, no.
Okay. I'm glad. I got to ask the question. You know, all right, so.
He's pretty critical of some of the things they do. You know, he chaired the Congressional Executive Commission on China. That has some impact on how we think about China and human rights, and they weren't always thrilled with the things he was talking about. I think it's a little scary that he, for them, that he speaks Chinese, that he's been in country, that he was in country right after Tiananmen. He has seen things in that country, and they don't love that.
Yeah. What about the politics of it? And you've been now for some time. The tenor, to my opinion, has certainly changed over the last 10 years. What's your take on where we are politically now, the discourse and the attitudes as it was before when you first started?
You know, it's evolved. I think it's also... It's evolved with the media landscape, right? As when I first started with him, we were in the sort of heyday of blogs, right? Everybody was following all these bloggers who were new and interesting, but Instagram, right, really wasn't a thing. TikTok wasn't a thing. And so you still had a lot more local papers. You still had these weekly, you know, locally produced papers that had a circulation of 1,000 maybe. And they all had their take and people trusted him. I think now, you know, we're looking at a digital media landscape where we all choose our favorite media source. And unfortunately, those are often partisan. And it reinforces our beliefs. Mm-hmm. And so I think what I've loved about him over the years is he's been willing to cross the aisle. He's been willing to talk to people he disagrees with and try to at least find a common relationship, if not common ground on policy. So media landscape's changed a lot, but it seems like he's winning the internet in the last few weeks.
I didn't think so. Meredith Vadas, let me ask you about the person of Governor Walz. He seems very genuine to me. Mm-hmm. And as a, you know, someone from Wisconsin, born in Michigan, I'm Midwest, you know, and we went to college together in La Crosse. That's where we met. And he seems like he's, you know, a guy right down the block. What can you tell us about his character?
He is a guy right down the block, right? He showed up at my grandparents' funerals when they both passed away in 2008, even though he was going back and forth to D.C. and he had little kids, right? He made time. He made time not just for me, but for a lot of other people. He's the kind of guy that I would show up at his house to pick him up for a long day on the road, and he had been outside, checked the oil in the van, put the Rain-X on the windshield so that the water would repel, and he's, like, sitting in the seat 10 minutes early. Like, I swear I'm on time. He's like, oh. 10 minutes early is on time, right? It's military time. And so
we like to think of that as Coach Lombardi time in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, there we go. The Packer digs.
It's okay. I'm in a mixed marriage. My husband's a Packers fan. he's really that guy down the block that will come and shovel your snow if you're gone on vacation or you got a broken arm. He's like, well, I'm already out here. I'm going to go shovel the snow. So I think what you see on TV, the genuine guy is who he is, and you know he's honestly kind of bad at acting and pretending. You get what you get with him, which is great.
Yeah. We're talking about Governor Tim Walz. Tonight will be his night. We're at the DNC right here in the United Center in Chicago. Meredith, governing. Originally, he served in the Congress, and his congressional record was fairly moderate, as I understand it. Tell us about his record as a legislator, as opposed to, let's say, a chief executive. What did you experience at the office?
You know, he has always looked for common ground to serve the people he represents. So when he was in Congress, he represented a true swing district. It was an R+1 when he flipped it from it had been in Republican hands with one exception for 100+ years.
Wow.
And it was, you know, everything from the Mayo Clinic on the east side and Winona and right up to La Crosse, where you guys went to school, right on the border, all the way to the other border on South Dakota, which is very dry farm country, right? So there's not a lot of water out there, believe it or not, in Minnesota. And, you know, water issues are big over there. And you got healthcare issues over here. And you got education everywhere else. It was a huge district. And it was pretty moderate middle of the road. So you have a responsibility in Congress to vote, you know, your conscience, but also your constituency. And behind that, you know, a distant third comes your caucus. And so he took that to heart.
What about the donors? So no, they're not part of that equation? Okay, no? I just want to be clear because I hear different things from different, you know, Republican Party members and Democratic Party members. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, I mean, right. They have things to say and they get a chance to say what they want to like anybody else. But that shouldn't be part of it, at least in my opinion. And I've never seen him act that way. So I think, you know, the other thing you have to recognize, though, is that as a legislator, especially a junior member, you don't drive the agenda, yeah. Right? You get what you get that comes to the floor. You get what you get that comes to the committee. He was lucky. We had two chairmen in Minnesota. Chairman Jim Oberstar was chairing transportation. Chairman Colin Peterson was chairing ag. He could be a freshman on both of those committees. They were great mentors for him, but it also meant you dealt with more middle of the road, conservative, everybody likes to have roads without potholes. Everybody likes to have affordable food to eat, right? Ag and transportation are pretty middle of the road. Yeah. Everybody likes some kind of issues. And then he served on Veterans Affairs, right? Again, right? People want to support our veterans. It doesn't matter what party you are. If you gave your time and sometimes your life to the country, they have a desire to give back. So as a governor, he could drive the agenda. As a governor, he could expand on, you know, SNAP and food assistance in the Farm Bill, which he worked on I don't know how many times, and take it and give people free school lunch. My kids are in Minnesota public schools. We love free school lunch because it makes it super easy on the parent side, right? I don't have to worry about packing a lunch. If my kid wants one, I can, but if I forget, no big deal. But they don't know which kids are getting free and reduced lunch. There's no class differentiation in the lunchroom. They go through that line.
There's no different color punch piece of paper.
Right. Nobody's mom forgot to fill out their form for free and reduced lunch. And so they used to give kids a cheese sandwich when I was in high school, right? You got a peanut butter or a cheese sandwich if you didn't have any money in your lunch account or your mom hadn't filled out the paperwork. And it really created, you know, a class system in
the
lunchroom.
Sure. And kids are vicious.
Right. Yeah. You know what, though? When you feed kids, they pay attention. When they pay attention, they learn better. When they learn better, you have fewer, you know, incidents of bad behavior and other incidents in your schools. When you spend less money on that, you can spend money on other things. There's a real logic to it. He's always governed with logic. And so, yeah, you can say, oh, feeding kids, super liberal.
I mean, sounds socialist to me.
Crazy. But you know what? At the end of the day, over the long term, it saves us money. Minnesota's got some great schools. We're really lucky.
As a boss, he's looking to take a promotion of his own.
Yes.
Would you recommend him for this higher duty?
Yeah. I mean, look, he is a genuine guy. When he says, I got your back, Madam President, he means it. And there's nobody better to have your back. And so I think he's personable. He's highly energetic. I mean, I cannot imagine being the extrovert that he is. It is an introvert. It wears me out. But he loves people. And it's a great job for somebody who loves people, who wants to get to know the entire country, who wants to support our next president. And you know, who really is in it for the right reasons.
Service.
Yeah, he's a public servant. Military, school, government, you name it, the guy's a public servant.
Meredith Vadis. I'm looking for affirmation. Thank you so much for joining us, a former Tim Walz staffer. It's Tim Walz Day at the DNC. Come back, more Devils.
Thank you, Meredith.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show live from the DNC in Chicago, the United Center. I want to thank our most recent guest, Meredith Vadis, a former staffer with Governor Walz. Appreciate her coming by and letting us know a little bit more about coach, teacher, neighbor, congressman, and governor from Minnesota.
And it's Tim Walz Day. It's unofficially Tim Walz Day. Well, officially here at the DNC, it is the vice president's night. And obviously, Walz, the nominee of the party, and what a rally they had in Milwaukee last night. It is being widely reported, 18,000 at the Fiserv Forum, according to the campaign. I don't think they're lying, Trump. I got lots of friends that were at the rally last night.
We just talked to a bunch of them when we went out here from you. What was your experience? 844-967-2789. How can the guy literally go out there? What was it, a couple of weeks ago? Oh, it's AI. There's really not these people here. I mean, if Joe Biden, remember that guy? Remember, thank you, Joe. Remember that guy from Monday?
Yeah.
Seems like a long time ago. If Joe Biden would have got out there and said, oh, my God, these crowds from Donald Trump, I love these rallies. It's created by AI. There's nobody there. you know, the party would reject him. But no, on the Republican side, absolutely not. They had some words to say about it. They weren't really happy that the man's losing his mind, but he is still and remains the leader of that party.
Let's talk about this party, the DNC and their party. And, you know, Kamala Harris is about to take the mantle as the leader of the Democratic Party. But Bill Clinton speaking tonight. We had Hillary Clinton speaking. When was that? Two nights ago? It's been a chock full week of, there's been a plethora of political stars, Dom. And we got Bill, as mentioned, Bill Clinton. And last night, Michelle and Barack Obama. And I think we should revisit some of that sound, Dom. I think we should play the speech. I'm so envious of those that were at the Kamala rally, but we had Michelle Obama and Barack Obama in this room at the DNC. So for those that started getting a little tired last night, I hear a few of our friends went to bed early. Not us.
What? Early?
So
we went to bed early, just early this morning.
Early this morning. Michelle Obama, this was perhaps the greatest speech of this convention. So far, could be top tonight. Who knows?
I don't know, man. It's going to be hard to top that. That would have to be.
It's going to be awfully hard. But tonight, again, is Tim Walz's night. Last night was the Obama's night. So, Rich, if you would, let's start with Michelle Obama. Cut number 8. Hope is making a comeback.
America, hope is making a comeback.
Hope. I remember Hope. That was the Hope and Change campaign. Great to hear Michelle Obama again. A couple more from the former First Lady. If you would please, Rich, cut number 9.
Kamala Harris is more than ready for this moment. She is one of the most qualified people ever to seek the office of the presidency.
A lot of support from Michelle Obama. Hey, Casper, if you would, please, let's make sure we keep the sound up here. Rich, let's go another one. Cut number 10. Go vote, people.
This election is going to be close. In some states, just a handful, listen to me, a handful of votes in every precinct could decide the winner. So we need to vote in numbers that erase any doubt.
And, it's the contrast, the excitement, all these things we've been talking about. We keep thinking the philosophy, the joy. But it's still a numbers game, right? This is a voting. This is election. People still have to get out and do it. I love the fact that no one's, like, resting on their laurels. I mean, certainly people are engaged in talking about the excitement. But there's also, hey, you know, even Walz and his, you know, we'll sleep when we're dead. He has added on to that. Now we got to work, you know, get the work done. We'll sleep when we're dead. Now's the time to work. One more, and I think this was probably the dagger of the night for Michelle Obama here in Chicago. Let's hear cut number 11, please, Rich.
His limited, narrow view of the world made him feel threatened by the existence of two hardworking, highly educated, successful people who happen to be black. I want to know, who's going to tell him that the job he's currently seeking might just be one of those black jobs?
Oh, my God. I mean, come on. Nothing will top that.
I loudly said, boom, look, drop the microphone. We had the microphones off in our broadcast booth last night, but we were listening in real time when she delivered that dagger. There is your dagger. Real quick, I've got a little bit of coverage from the Washington Post with 6 words. Michelle Obama rewires America's conversation on race. I want to give you a little bit of this before we take the Barack Obama. As is written from the body of the work, going high did not work. Donald Trump won that election. And while many of his supporters expressed discomfort with his go-low approach to politics, far more embraced it. And Trump, despite his pedigree as a New York billionaire, would embarrass and attack and disparage the perceived elites. And many Americans loved him for it. Lesson learned. In her speech last night at the 2024 Democratic Convention, Obama didn't explicitly revoke the "We go high" mantra, but she made clear that a different moment called for a different approach. And it wasn't that the former First Lady went low exactly, but she was unsparing in her disdain for and criticisms of her husband's successors.
In one of the more memorable stretches of her speech, she equated the Democratic nominee, Vice President Kamala Harris, with the majority of Americans who never enjoyed Trump's wealth and privilege and the safety net that accompanies them. Harris, and here's the statement, understands that most of us will never be afforded the grace of feeling forward. We will never benefit from the affirmative action of generational wealth. If we bankrupt a business or choke in a crisis, we don't get a second, third, or fourth chance. If things don't go our way, we don't have the luxury of whining or cheating others to get further ahead. No, we don't get the chance. We don't get to change the rules, so we always win. If we see a mountain in front of us, we don't expect there to be an escalator waiting to take us to the top. We put our heads down. We get to work. Hell of a statement from Michelle Obama. We'll play more from her husband a little bit later in the show. And we got many, many fine guests joining us here at the table at the DNC in Chicago. We'll come back. A happier happy hour, Dom. We're rolling through it. Chi-Town style. You're listening right now. I know you will continue to do so because we're going to be broadcasting all the way until Tim Walz' speech and beyond tonight. Stick around. More Devil's Advocates live at the United Center in Chicago, DNC Day 3.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, live on the road, DNC Day 3, the United Center in Chicago. Dom, we've been joined by a fine guest here at the table. Sir, I think we first met in 2019 when you were running for president, former Congressman Tim Ryan. I believe we met you in Cedar Rapids, sir.
When I heard Devil's Advocate, I was like, I know these guys. Are we allowed to swear on here?
No. Okay. Please don't.
Okay.
The FCC regulated, so you can swear a little bit, but we'll stay away from it.
George Carlin, 7 words.
Yeah, those 7. Let's not use any of them.
Speaking of Milwaukee.
Let me ask you, sir. I read an article. You apparently appeared on Fox News earlier today.
I
you
did.
Talked about the real reindustrialization of America and the fact that it's the Democrats bringing manufacturing back. That's not what Trump would claim, but let's start there, sir. You're from Ohio.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
I think that's like that the next, how many days left? I don't even know anymore.
76.
76 days. I mean, it needs to, that's the story. We have issues, but we have reindustrialized the country. That in part is contributing some to the inflation. But we had to do this. We've been waiting 30 or 40 years in Wisconsin and Minnesota and Ohio and Michigan. And between the Inflation Reduction Act, the CHIPS bill, and I know Wisconsin's benefiting from that, and the infrastructure bill. Like we have the three pillars of reindustrialization that have passed Congress, signed by Biden, and now the money's starting to get out. So it hasn't hit yet. We got to unionize these jobs. We got to get people making a good wage to build the stuff. But it's happened. That's the legacy. And I think with Kamala, you're in a position where you can talk about that as opposed to Joe Biden's age or the latest gaffe or how he looked or didn't dance at the right time.
Have you seen Trump dance, sir?
Oh, man, I've seen the memes. You know, it was like, you know, it didn't look as weird. Again, this is like all about contrast, right? It didn't look as weird, you know, against Biden. But then you see Kamala out there kicking it, and you're like, yeah, that's weird. That's how you dance.
It's weird. It's old. It's getting real stale, Tim.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And I think that's it. I mean, he's you've been to comedy shows, right? The comedian
just completely
loses the room, right? Trump's lost the room. You've been to events where people are giving speeches, and like, the dude totally lost the room. And that's where Trump is.
I'm shocked he kept the America people's attention this long, sir. He's been doing Fat Elvis in the same 10 songs for as long as I've been covering the man. I mean, it's really 9 years of the same speech in differing orders.
No doubt. No doubt. And again, I mean, you know, if it was in contrast to Biden, it was old and tiresome. But now it looks so, it's magnified, amplified by, you know, thousands. And it is. It's just like we were sitting up. So I did Fox. Why? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. but we were sitting there and we're watching because they're playing his entire speech. And I'm like, I wanted to shoot myself because I'm like, I would never watch a Trump speech for 5 seconds, let alone I'm there 27 minutes and he's still droning on. So I got to hear the whole thing. World War III if Kamala gets elected. And people are yawning and everyone's like postures like slouched. And then in the background, John Legend starts playing Prince. Let's get crazy. And the whole vibe changed. Like, even the people in the Fox thing were like, oh. And I was like, that is the campaign in a nutshell.
Yeah.
This guy, boring, old, grumpy, self-indulgent, grievance, and, you know, Prince music. It's awesome. I think that's the contrast.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates. We got a fine guest. He is former Congressman Tim Ryan. And Tim, I hate to describe you this way. You were also the political opponent of J.D. Vance. You were on the other side of the Senate race in Ohio. Apparently, you didn't have a billionaire donor in your back pocket. You needed a sugar daddy, Tim.
Come on, maybe. You're trying hard enough.
But in a relatively close race, you lost to J.D. Vance. What can you tell us about J.D. Vance as a politician, sir?
He's not a really good one, honestly. Like, and I, you know, we're all flawed in our own ways, but he's doesn't enjoy it. He's not a good retail guy. And he's lazy. He does what didn't work very hard. Doesn't sound like Trump's doing much now anyway, so maybe he fits right in.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a ton of baggage. I mean, we literally were up 3 points on Labor Day. You know, I was raising money nationally, and we just put it in, and we defined him through the summer. We were up 51-48 on Labor Day. He got $50 million from Mitch McConnell. We got zero from the D.C. Democrats. And then he was able to just kind of, you know, just drown me out. But the point of that is he's a bad candidate, and he's got a lot of baggage, and this is now an anvil around Trump's neck.
Well, I did once have to appear on Fox News to actually – comment on this race, and I found J.D. Vance to be such a despicable candidate, sir. I'm sorry I wasn't watching close enough. I reside in Wisconsin. Were you ever able to debate J.D. Vance?
Oh, yeah. You got to pull the clips. Your audience would love them. We kicked his rear end good. At one debate, we had 5 different clips going viral at one time. I mean, I was just hammering them. I didn't let them up. I mean, it just like... He had this thing, and I know we're not allowed to swear on air, but Trump said at a rally in Youngstown, Ohio, with J.D. sitting in the front row, I think with his wife, he says, look at J.D. Vance. He's been kissing my ass for months to try to get his endorsement, okay? And after he said that, J.D. Vance got up, went on the stage, shook his hand, grip and grin, and so I used that as like, I don't know anybody that I went to school with, I grew up with, who would get insulted in front of the world, take your dignity from you, and you get back up on stage and shake the dude's hand. And so it became Ohio needs an ass kicker, not an ass kisser.
I like that.
It was good.
That's a good bumper sticker.
It was good. Yeah, it worked out. So, but that's kind of like... That's how we portrayed him, and it was good. I mean, we debated him twice, and we did good. We handed his hat, so I think Walls will do something very similar.
I was wondering, former Congressman Tim Ryan here at the table with us at the DNC. This is Tim Walls' day, the VP nominee's day. If Tim calls you, Governor Walls, Coach Walls calls you and says, I need some advice, some sparring.
I need a coach for the coach, Tim.
Yeah. What advice would you give Tim Walls in debate prep for J.D. Vance?
Hit the gas pedal and just stay on him. Like, because he'll try to, like, weasel out of, I never said that, you know, and I had to be like, J.D., in 30 seconds, we're going to have the clip up of you saying it. Like, you can't just say you didn't say it. Like, you said it, whatever we were talking about. So I think, like, playing offense, Staying on them, don't let them get away with anything. Call them out, and I think that would be it. And then just be yourself, like show you be the coach, you know.
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates, former Congressman Tim Ryan from Ohio at the table with us. Tim, good to see you. You've been in politics a long time, Tim. We've been doing this show for 13 years. I have never seen anything like what we witnessed last night here in Chicago, coinciding with what went on at the forum in Milwaukee. Have you ever seen anything like this?
I wasn't here last night, but I watched the speeches, the Obama speeches, and it was incredible. It was just really incredible on how they were able to communicate at such a deep, honest level with the American people. I thought, like Barack talking about people feeling lonely.
Yeah.
I thought, like, you know, it's the whole country, like depression and, you know, mental health issues and what technology has done to us. And then he tied it into the broader, like, polarization within politics and the toxicity in politics. I thought that was really awesome, and to be able, that's what leaders do. They're like, okay, here's our problem, here's our challenge, here's the source, or at least one of the sources of the problems that we have. And I thought Michelle was just so down home. I mean, it was just like her mom and how we are raised. I mean, when you take it from a Trump like 80,000 feet making fun of people, and you reduce it to, is this how you're raising your kids? Is this how your parents raised you? No. So why would we accept this? And that's why they're the Obamas. I mean, it's just fine wine getting better and better.
Well, and certainly the Harris campaign out there, you know, filling a demand, Tim. I mean, this was obviously something that people were wanting, people were craving. You know, the hangover from the mismanagement of the COVID pandemic, I think, contributed a lot to these very same things that the Obamas were talking about.
Sure.
You know, it magnified the effect of the loneliness and you know, wormholing down to your silos of information. And, you know, when you're sitting there, you can't go anywhere, you can't do anything. Kids are, you know, in front of their computers for 8 hours a day because everyone's trying to deal with how do we adjust? How do we still educate the kids? How do we still have an economy? How do we deal with this? And we just had someone who was so woefully inept. And whose biggest concern was his own election.
Mm-hmm.
And that started, you know, the big lie. I mean, that mm-hmm. started in the January, February, March of that election year. He was talking about, oh, it's going to get stolen, it's going to get stolen, and here we go, and go. And again, to compare that and contrast that with what we've seen here and with the Obamas, with Walz, and of course Harris. 76 days, what's your sense? What needs to be done? I appreciated the folks last night saying, you know, we can't rest. Got to keep working. I saw Tim added to his, we'll sleep when we're dead, but now we work. Mm-hmm. What do you think needs to be done to capitalize on this and to keep this momentum going for another 76 days, Tim?
I think you got to keep the message really simple. You know, I think like the economic message, I wouldn't get too much in the weeds. I think we saw a little bit with her economic policy release, like, you know, then their price supports, or I forget what they were saying. That wasn't even in the plan, but... Keep it simple. Infrastructure, manufacturing. Like 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Let's keep the football analogy going, right?
Right.
Like just these are the plays. Run them till they stop them. And it's manufacturing, infrastructure, you know, safety. Manufacturing, infrastructure, safety, whether it's communities or the border. And just pound that thing. And I think because you need that message to get down to the low information voters. What are they for? Well, what, you know, because they're going to try to say she's not for anything. What's she for? She's for immigration, or she's for manufacturing. She's for infrastructure. She's for security.
Former Congressman Tim Ryan, a few more minutes. Tim, what about the messaging that Democrats have directed at this Trump fans campaign? The weird, and even the fact that when it is a weird look, and the accusation about the couch thing with J.D. Vance, and the fact that Tim Walz at the rollout rally in Philadelphia says, yeah, I can't wait to debate this guy if you'll get off the couch. What did you think of that, Tim?
I think it shows a level of sophistication with they know that they're going to be able to clip this line, and it's going to go on social media, and it's going to... So there'll be lines in both of their speeches, of this is hot, like this is gonna be a social media viral moment, and they're planning ahead on that, which I think is really pretty sophisticated stuff, and I think that's shows that, I mean, she clearly hit the ground running, she, you know, and people are like, well, she's not talking about the issues. I'm like, this camp, this plane is getting lift. Right. I mean, it's going vertical. Why would you come with a 10-point policy plan? That's the problem with Democrats. They want to, like, convince you with their 10-point policy plan.
I never voted for a white paper, sir.
No. No.
Well, I might vote against something like Project 2025. The Republicans are trying to run away from this 900-page policy item that no one wants to touch.
Right.
If I wasn't there, I don't know anything about it, but I strongly disagree with some of those points.
And I don't really know anybody over there, although they all worked for me. The funny part about that is that the reason why I think the 2025 thing works is, one, it's nasty, but it plays into J.D. Vance's extreme. Trump is extreme. They want to do these extreme things, stay in a violent marriage, national abortion. Like, it plays into the anti-union stuff. So you're just cherry-picking to make the broader story. But I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped too.
Yeah, man.
Ohio State. I hope you guys lose quite a bit this year.
I mean, is that how we're going to end this? We were doing so well.
Outside of that.
I was wondering if Wisconsin even had a team anymore.
You got
our coach over there. You got the Ohio State coach.
Yeah, Luke Fickell. Yeah. My actual question was, how do we get Ohio back in the swing state column? Got about 30 seconds, sir.
It's a brand thing. We won two initiatives in November, 57% on pro-choice, pro-marijuana. So it's not a red state. It's the Dem brand has been severely damaged as a coastal, probably same in Wisconsin. We're seen as coastal, latte drinking liberal, limousine liberals. We got to get the lunch buckets back.
I think Walls will help a great deal in that.
No doubt about it.
Congressman
you should wear
Tim
the whistle
Walls.
Tonight.
Thank you so much, sir. Really appreciate your
Thanks,
time.
Thanks, you, appreciate you,
folks. More Devils Advocates Day 3 DNC back at the United Center in Chicago after this short break.
The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Day 3 DNC in Chicago. Follow us on the Twitters at Devil Radio, on Facebook at the Devil's Advocates Radio.
Dominic, we got another fine guest. Hey, thank you, Congressman Tim Ryan. Welcome, Brent Booker. He is with LIUNA, the union guys.
I'm the union guys.
Hey, so, Brent.
How you doing?
Welcome. We were just speaking with Congressman Ryan. He did an earlier interview today talking about the reindustrialization of America, and really it's care of the Inflation Reduction Act and many of the legislative proposals that were moved forward by the Biden administration. Biden and Harris have been friends to the union, have they not, sir?
They have been the best, most pro-union administration, and certainly in my lifetime. And when you saw the chants broke out on Monday night, Union Joe, Union Yes, and you saw when he spoke, that's where he leaned in my opinion, that's where he leaned in the most. That's where he's comfortable. He's talking about working families, union, building the middle class, having unions be part of that. So it's been a unbelievable 4 years of being a part of the conversation, being at the table, and being able to shape legislation with the President of the United States, who doesn't need talking points and isn't afraid to say the word union, lean into the word union, and make sure that these are American union jobs. And it's refreshing. It's been great.
And Biden was the first president, if my memory serves, to ever walk a picket line.
My memory is the same as yours. Who does that? I mean, and that's just how he relates to our people. That's how he relates to our members. He believes it. Like, again, you don't have to hand him talking points when he gets in front of a labor crowd. You give him a microphone and say, go talk. And if he sees a picket line, he's going to tell Secret Service to stop, get out. He wants to be there and show up for our members and for American workers.
Brent, do you think the workers, and I would characterize most union guys as blue-collar guys, do you think the word is getting out to the union guys where these new jobs came from and where these projects came from? Are they making the connection? Because it seems like economically a lot of Americans disconnect their current economic circumstance from reality. What are the union guys saying about this administration to your to your experience.
Right. And look, that we have to do a better job, the collective we. The administration has to, you know, do a better job of talking about it. Let's stop using Washington, D.C. terms. Let's stop saying IRA. Let's stop saying infrastructure. Let's talk about a road. Let's talk about a bridge, a tunnel, that factory, that, you know, that chips plant, Intel, and connect that directly to their paycheck. And then explain to them, hey, you got your check on Friday because Joe Biden passed a piece of legislation to make sure that this bridge, this tunnel, this manufacturing job is yours. And it's because of me. It's because of the Biden-Harris administration. So that onus is on both of us, certainly on us, for us to communicate to our members so that every time they get their paycheck, every time they go to the union hall to get on the out-of-work list, and when we dispatch them out to the job to go connect that in a straight line to go get that job.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Brent Booker from La Una. Brent, the Trump, former Trump administration, Trump campaign has gone out and said, well, we're the party of the working people. And, you know, the union membership politically is a lot like this country. A lot of people are on different ways. What do you think the most important factors are for someone to determine where their political, you know, selves will lie within the union? No, not everybody's the same, certainly, even if you're in a union. What do you think the biggest factors are to maybe try to get some of those folks to look at, re-engage with the Democratic Party versus what Trump has been offering?
Look, our membership is reflective of the American people. Yep. We've got Republicans, we've got Democrats, we've got independents. And what we have to do is let's just start listening to them, listening to their words, take them for what their words are. And when you hear Donald Trump talking about, you know, firing workers on a picket line, and you see Joe Biden and Kamala Harris walking a picket line, trust your eyes, trust what you hear, trust what you see. When you see Project 2025 and what's out there, yeah, about getting rid of collective bargaining, getting rid of project labor agreements, getting rid of prevailing wages, trust your eyes, trust what you hear. That's his voice, that's his words, and then you can see what Kamala Harris has done, what Joe Biden has done, and what they're promising to do in the future. For the first time, we get to actually compare 4 years versus 4 years, right? Yeah. Donald Trump was president for 4 years. He had the opportunity to restore pensions. He had the opportunity to do infrastructure. He had the opportunity to bring manufacturing jobs back. He talked about it. He didn't do it.
Every 2 weeks, it was going to be infrastructure work.
I mean, that's right.
Wasn't he also like holding rallies? I believe it was in Michigan or perhaps, and claiming all these union folks. It was actually not a non-union shop.
It was a non-union shop that they paid people on a bus to come in and pretend like they were our members. Our members, no, I mean, look, man, that's, you know, hard. You can't pull that on our members.
I mean, isn't that like the third rail? I mean, literally something like that, and without any bones about it, apparently, from Trump.
And talk to any union member, talk to them about walking a picket line and what that means and what the meaning is behind that, and then see what he did to make a mockery out of it, and then see what Joe Biden did when he actually walked the picket line. And look, we just have to go and show them that. We got to talk to them. We got to communicate with our members. We got to be, you know, not afraid to have a hard conversation with our membership.
Is the term, I think it was O'Brien, scab, is that too harsh for the former president, Brent?
Fain.
Sean Fain, yeah, Sean Fain.
Yeah.
No, look at his history. Look at what he's done as a developer. Look what he's done as an owner, where he stiffed workers, where he stiffed contractors who employ our membership, right? That's what they do, and that's what he's done his whole career. So I don't think that's too harsh. And I think, when you know, you got to call a ball, and a strike, a strike. And when somebody's a union-busting developer, when someone doesn't treat their workers right, call it a ball, call it a strike, and just communicate that to our membership.
Brent Booker from La Una. They are the labor guys. They're the union guys. Thank you so much for joining us here at the table.
Thank you, Brent.
Sadly, we're short on time. We got to wrap up for now. Thank you all for listening to us live from the DNC right here in the United Center in Chicago. Dom and crew going to take a quick dinner break, and then we will be back at 7 o'clock to anchor coverage from here till Tim Walz's speech is done and the party starts right here in Chicago. So stick around. We got a wrap-up show here on Civic Media, and then the Devil's Advocates will take you all the way home. Thank you again, Brent Booker. Thank you, Rich back in Madison. Thank you, Corey. Thank you, Casper, all the people that makes this show go. Thank you so much. We'll do it one more time from Chicago. Tune in tomorrow, but stick around. Coverage all night long, live from the DNC.